If you love comedy movies and Hollywood satire, you're going to want to listen to a brand new podcast called Get It to Dutch.
In Get It to Dutch, we play three aspiring screenwriters on a quest to get a script to big-time Hollywood producer Dutch Huxley.
Each week on the podcast, we perform a movie script right before your ears.
It's like going to a movie with your eyes closed.
And we have amazing guest stars, including Tim Robinson, Rob Hubel, Lily Sullivan, Jamie Moyer, and Weird Al Yankovic.
Listen to Get It to Dutch, A Screenwriter's Journey, starting May 9th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But, you know, I guess this is just, what do you call that, public announcement to Hollywood? I'm sure they're listening to me. If you need a bitch, yeah, don't ask me to read for it. Just yeah, know I can do it. Know I can deliver.
Hi, my name is Angela Kinsey, and I can bat right and left-handed.
You're ambidextrous.
That's right. So when you need your, you know, weekend softball team.
Yeah, you're a righty and a lefty.
Sign me up.
Mm-hmm. You're a switch hitter.
I'm a switch
hitter.
Someone
call. I don't think that applies.
I'm a switch hitter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another delightful episode of Off the Beat. You are listening to the mellifluous, harmonious, the dulcet sounds of me, your host, Brian Baumgartner. Guys, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I couldn't get a guest for today. So I just asked my friend to join me. Her name is Angela. I know you probably don't know her. She's an actor. She's got blonde hair, small frame, played an accountant on the show about a paper company. It doesn't matter. She's my friend, and we're going to have a little chat. Oh, you know her. Well, if you know her, you're going to love this episode. In addition to some office talk, Angela and I are going to talk about her childhood in Indonesia, her comedy training, her cooking prowess, and of course, her award-winning podcast, Office Ladies, which she hosts with our other friend, Jenna Fisher. You might not know her. She's, all right, you probably know her. Without further ado, I am so excited to have on my next guest, which needs no introduction, Angela Kinsey.
Bubble and squeak. I love it. Bubble and squeak, I know. Bubble and squeak, I cook it every morning, left over from the night before.
Happy New Year!
What's happening, buddy?
What's happening? How are you?
I'm good. Oh my God. Look at you, Green Bay.
I got the Green Bay shirt on today. I've got the glasses on. I'm experimenting with glasses, Angela.
What's the experimentation? Do you need them or not?
Well,
No.
My brain says I don't. Mm. My eyes now
disagree.
Say that I do, that it's very helpful. Mm-hmm.
I remember going to the eye doctor when I think I was like 44, and I was kind of squinting at things, and he goes, how old are you? About like 46. So I was like, how dare you? He goes, it's time, like clockwork.
It's so crazy. That's what they say. It's like 46 is when it starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll see. I just got them. We'll experiment. We'll try.
Okay.
I don't know. Seems unnecessary. I mean, I'm seeing the office, lots of office ladies things behind you. Are you at home? Are you in your studio?
Am. This is my closet.
Your closet. I know. I see on the Instagram.
They came and they set it up for me. So it's got this, you know, the soundproofing stuff.
Me too. Then, see my soundproofing
your
stuff.
Tone of soundness. And then you know me. Brian, I love a little tchotchke. So if people send me stuff, I hang it on the wall behind me, basically.
Oh.
Yeah. So well, send me something. I'll hang it on the wall.
That's nice of you. Yeah. You're so nice, Angela. That's what everyone says.
Do they really?
Yeah, they do.
Tell you, I am a real, I have really taken a turn on small talk. Like a turn, down. I'm not good at it anymore. We were just at...
The weather is beautiful today, isn't it?
Is it? No, stop it. Look how I fell for your stupid small talk. I'm like, wait, is it? I looked out the window. No, I was at my son's, winter concert the other night. Mm-hmm. And this parent was like, how's it going? And I, you know what I blurted out? Oh, our minivan. I guess something's up with the axle.
What is that?
This is a parent I barely know. They looked at me God. Why are you telling me about your minivan?
You know what's so funny? Not 45 minutes ago, I just had a small talk exchange with someone who came to my house to do a little work. And it was...
How'd it go?
I don't think he's a big fan, so I don't think he's going to hear this. You know, it was this... Hey, I heard I was coming to your house and you're my friend's favorite character. Thank you. I don't really watch television. Are you still shooting that show, The Office? We're done with that. Mm. Yeah, he told me about something about chili.
Oh.
Yep. That was me. That was me. So what are you working on now? I mean, literally, it just kept going right in front.
This is the thing. At any point in your day, you can have a full-on interview by some stranger.
Right. It was.
End of it usually makes you feel shitty about yourself.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and that's how it ended. Yeah, well, anyway, I don't watch television, but actually, the last thing he said was, but I think I saw you play poker once.
Oh, great.
Yep.
Yeah, that was me.
Probably me back in 2012. Anyway, well, here's the thing. Now I'm get to ask you all these kinds of questions. So that's
fun.
Really fun.
It's so fun to interview someone you know and you know the answers to.
Well, yeah. And so like me, I feel like everyone knows your store, at least even if they don't know you, they know your store. They probably saw you play poker once on television. But I there are a few things my research team did
that
I actually did not fully know.
They found some nooks and crannies.
Well, I don't even know how nooky and cranny it is.
You're gonna get nooky and cranny
but
today.
You're gonna get nookied. There were a couple of things I didn't know. I mean, first off, you grew up in Jakarta.
I did.
That's a city in Indonesia. I've heard you speak Indonesian many times.
Bahasa. Mm-hmm.
Bahasa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, you speak Bahasa. Now, have you heard this phrase, third culture kid?
Yes, I have.
So, I mean, for those of you who haven't, I'm glad you have, because I hadn't, actually. What this refers to are people that they have this third culture, right? There's so you have your sort of home culture. You're moved overseas. Mm-hmm. Then you have the culture that you're living in there. And those two together kind of make this third culture. Does that resonate for you? Do you feel like that's how you grew up?
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know, we had this young gal write in to Office Ladies, my podcast, who was also a third culture kid.
Okay.
And you do, you know, you're sort of fish out of water everywhere. So you're not quite part of the culture where you grew up. And then when you go back to what would be your home culture, you're you don't quite fit in there either. And I think it's why a lot of kids that went to international schools, wherever they are, they're all over, right? They really bond with each other and they stay in touch. My school, Jakarta International School, is having their reunion at the end of this month. They pick different cities and it's going to be in Los Angeles this year. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, are you going to go?
I'm going to go.
That's super cool.
I'm super excited. My sister has been to many, and it's like a club you're not in until you're in it, you know? And then it's special to you to sort of connect with other people. And the other thing about growing up in another country too, when you move back to wherever it was you're from, at least for me when I was a kid, because I am 100 years old, so this was the 70s, and I lived in Indonesia all through the 70s and into the early 80s. And in the mid 80s, I moved back to the US. And when you said goodbye to people, you just said goodbye. There was no internet. There was, I'm going to text you. It was snail mail. It was like, okay. And then you would have a friend or two. Like I had a friend, Kate Livingston in Australia. Kate, oh my gosh, if you hear this, please, I would love to talk to you. We wrote for years. And then my letters started coming back because I guess they had moved. Oh. And I don't know how to find Kate. I don't know where she
Kate
is in the world.
Livingston. Yeah. Reach out to Angela. She wants to hear from you.
Yeah, Kate and Sarah. God. Remember, and Kate, they're from Australia. And Kate, you would make fun of your sister Sarah because she had freckles. And you'd be like, I fly just shed all over your face, Sarah. do you remember?
I don't remember, but hopefully she does. I want to make a connection. Well, I was going to ask you so it seems like not. So there's no one that you're still in contact with.
Oh, yeah, lots.
Oh, there are. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Not Kate,
but my friend Carinza and I, we text all the time and share pictures. And I have a few friends that we used to do a yearly meetup. It's kind of harder now because everyone has kids and stuff, but it's, you know, such a fond chapter of my life.
Have you been back?
Went back in my 20s, but okay. I haven't. But then, you know, then we got the office, and that was my whole 30s, Brian.
That's my whole 30s. I know.
And you know what? When people like see you out in the world now, I don't know how it is for you, but they look at me and they're like, "You're not 30." And I'm like, "No, I am not." It's shocking to them.
I know that you don't still look the same. I did not remember if you had been back. So it's been since your 20s been back.
I want to go back again, but it's, you know, it's just harder.
Jakarta has somewhere around 7 million people.
Yeah.
And you return back to the United States and settle, I guess. I don't know if that's not the word. You settle in Archer City, Texas. Where there's 1,500
I think people. There's 1,800 now, Brian. I think there's
I'm talking about at the time.
Hey, I just drove through and the population sign said 1,800 and my mom said, "Oh, that's way off." So I don't know. I don't really know where it stands.
Does she think there's more or less?
She thinks there's more. And there were a few raised eyebrows in the car that might disagree. My dad was a drilling engineer, but he was from this small town in Texas. And when we were transferred back stateside, we were transferred to Dallas. Brian, okay. Dallas in the 80s was crazy. Ooh.
Wow.
It was crazy. People were like, my first day of school, there was a girl sitting next to me. Her name was Bobby, B-O-B-B-I. This is in Dallas.
Yeah.
Because we were there a year. We had like a transition year. Before my dad was like, "Let's get out of Dallas. Let's go back to the farm." But Bobby had a patch on her eye, just one eye. And, you know, I was trying to make a friend. I'm new. And right. I said, "Do you have pink eye? I'm trying to think, what's the patch about?" And she goes, "Oh, I got eyeliner tattooed on my eyelid and it's infected." And we were 14. I was like, Dallas is like a whole other animal here.
Right. Bobby, if you're listening, reach out to Angela. She wants to connect. She wants to connect with you.
Bobby.
B-O-B-B-I.
Bobby was very nice to me.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure her eye is better.
It's probably better now. Was this, moving well. So you spend a year in Dallas, and Dallas is a big city. It's not 7 million, certainly not at the time, not even close. Talking about that third culture kid thing, now you're back in this culture, Archer City, so small. Was this difficult for you?
Oh my gosh. Well, let's start with Dallas, because Dallas was my first entry back into the States, and people didn't know what to do with me. They had no idea what box to put me in. I, you know, a lot of them had never heard of Jakarta, and I was
I hadn't either until I met you, by the way.
You stop it. I'm like, you stop it. I was, so also coming back from my school in Indonesia to the U.S., I was ahead in four subjects. So I started my day. Dallas is very, very, you know, the school system is very big. So you have middle school, which is just like seventh and eighth grade, or seventh, eighth, and ninth. And then you have a high school that's like 10, 11, 12. And where I was, it was a huge school district. So I went to the middle school for half the day. Then my mom picked me up at lunch. I ate lunch in the car with my mom as she drove across town to the high school. The high school with 10, 11th, and 12th graders, and I finished the day there. So I was never at the middle school for after-school extracurriculars. I was never there for pep rally. I was never there for anything. And then at the high school, I didn't eat lunch with anyone. I ate lunch with my mom in the car.
That's awful.
Awful, awful. And now think about 14-year-old me. I think I weighed 70 pounds.
Yeah.
And I was just a bean pole. And also Indonesia, I didn't wear a lot of makeup. I didn't do my hair. And this was prime Texas big hair.
Yeah.
And I had 80s. Straight hair, not a lot of makeup, you know. And my mom said that, and I remember this, I would cry all the way to school. And then my mom would drop me off and she would cry all the way, drive back home.
Oh,
I know. Way to take a turn, sorry, to make everybody sad. It was a really, really difficult year.
Oh,
and
I'm sure.
At the high school, 10th and 11th and 12th graders, there were only three of us, three students that were not 10th, 11th, and 12th. It was me and a young fella from Pakistan. And then there was a gal, and I forget where she was from, but, you know, we were all third culture kids.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know who was the nicest to me at the school? And I never even smoked pot, Brian. I don't smoke marijuana. The stoner kids were the nicest.
Really?
They were like, Jakarta, man, sounds cool. Can I talk? Cool. Yeah. They were the nicest. And I would, that's who at the high school, who would like chat me up. So shout out to nice stoner kids.
Shout out to nice stoner kids.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Pakistani kid. If you're there, please reach out to Angela.
So nice.
She wants to reach out to you.
I would. Yes. And then the gal, I didn't know because she was in a different program than I was in.
Okay.
But I just knew of her. I knew there were three of us.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was then we moved to Archer City. And I mean, I went from a 5A public school, you know, that's like the high school I was at in Dallas looks like a community college, to a 2A high school. So I graduated with 34.
Oh my goodness.
That's, yeah. And talk about, they didn't know what to make of. They were like, who is this lady coming in here? And I loved it. I ended up loving it. I hit that point where I was like, I had moved so many times. I was new to two schools in 1 year, you know, because I was new to the middle school and the high school.
Right.
By the time I got to Archer City, I kind of have what the kids call the zero F's about everything. And I think I just went in there with that bravado and then it was a blast and I loved it.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I also am told, and I'm asking more in terms of you acclimating or getting to know other students. I mean, it sounds like Dallas was a disaster anyway, but that you didn't have a television.
No.
Until you moved back to the States.
Yeah.
So again, like, well, it's still the same today. It may be about video games or it may be about sports or, you know, still some entertainment. Some of those cultural touchstones that just help you. Now you and I know, Like, there's a whole group of people who are friends because of The Office that communicate in The Office language.
Yeah.
That talk about episodes, that quote episodes, that, you know, that's part of their cultural identity. You come back, you don't know not just Sesame Street or Mr. Rogers, but, you know, shows by the time you're 14 that your parents are watching, The Cosby Show, or, you know, I can't date you specifically at that moment. My brain's not that good, but I feel like that's what I was watching, you know, early on in the 80s. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that difficult for you to sort of make that adjustment? And there must have been times when you just didn't know what the hell anybody was talking about.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I didn't know what people were talking about. I didn't know.
Like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That would be one that would have been for me.
Oh, I saw that. I thought it was so good. I was so excited. I like kind of went on a binge. Like I would just like watch everything. But I mean, I didn't know what a soap opera was. And there were girls talking about soap operas talking about, Marlena, Days of Our Lives. They were talking like, and I'm like, who's Marlena? What's happening? Sounds like things aren't going so good for her. You know, I'm like, oh no, there's, and John Black, he's back. What happened to him? There was all these references I didn't understand for a long time. Still every once in a while, because there's big chapters. I had never seen a Brady Bunch episode, never seen one, you know? And then also when I started doing improv, sometimes I would walk out into a scene and a pop cultural reference would come up and I would have no idea. Someone said to me, someone said something about the Green Hornet one time. And I was like, I'll have another, please. Like, shake and nut stirred. Thank you very much. You know? And everyone was like record scratch. They're like, who is this person?
That's when you just start talking Indonesian.
Yeah.
That's just when you like, just go into it.
I know. Maaf sekali, saya tidak tahu. That's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Did your parents speak Indonesian, by the way?
My mom more than my dad.
Okay.
And then my older sister is still very fluent in it.
Okay.
She went back there and lived later in life. So, and then my sisters and I just have a little shorthand where just enough, I speak it better than my other two sisters. And so, cause there's four of us, but we have enough of a shorthand that, we can talk about someone at the mall, you know, like if there's a lady at the mall, we can say, waduh, lihat. That's how my sisters speak it with a Southern accent. They love when I do this impression of them.
Right.
Just kidding. They don't. but yes, they put a lot of extra vowels.
Into the Indonesian, yeah. Right.
Hey, everyone. This is Get It to Dutch, a screenwriter's journey. I'm Mark.
I'm Greg.
I'm Brendan.
And in this new comedy podcast, the three of us play aspiring screenwriters on a quest to get a hit Hollywood script to famous producer Dutch Huxley.
Well, I would say one of us is aspiring and the other two are sort of struggling.
Which one of us is aspiring?
No, they're going to have to listen to the podcast.
But I don't know, and I made the podcast.
Well, I made the podcast, and I think you guys were along for the ride.
Each week, we bring in a script, we read it, and then we give each other notes.
And you'll also hear about our adventures navigating the Hollywood system.
The show features amazing guests like Tim Robinson, Lily Sullivan, Weird Al Yankovic, and Rob Hubel.
Like any great blockbuster, it's filled with heartbreak, adventure, suspense, and just a little tasteful nudity.
And some distasteful nudity.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, guys.
Listen to Get It to Dutch, a screenwriter's journey, starting May 9th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'm trying to remember when we have told this story. If we've told this story publicly.
I have been trying to like brainstorm since you reached out and were like, Ange, you want to come on? I'm like, what is he going to bring up? What? I've been trying to like think.
Well,
I know a few stories.
Well, we have to bring up the fact that you and I had met before we met on the set of The Office.
This is bonkers. This is bonkers. This is how when life just like circles back on you. Yeah. Do you remember the day we figured it out? We were on set.
Yes.
And you guys all know, me and Brian and Oscar, I would say of the whole entire cast, our nook back there, I think we spent the most concentrated time together.
Yeah.
You know, because we were
in the corner.
We were in the corner and we could
chat. They put baby in the corner.
They put baby in the corner. They put the idiots in the corner.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we were on set one day. How did it come up?
I don't remember. I mean, I think it came up. So, guys, Angela went to Baylor for some reason.
Sick 'em Bears.
No, that
all right.
Reason.
You and your ponies at SMU.
I went to SMU in the aforementioned Dallas, which was not the same by the time I got there that it was in the 80s. And we started talking, and
about
she knew some people.
Breaks. We started talking about spring breaks. Isn't
That's
that how
where it
came
started?
Up? I feel like we were like, I said something about, I am telling you, Brian, we were talking about spring break because we were about to go on hiatus.
Okay.
And I said something, we were talking about places we'd been. And I mentioned that I went to Acapulco in college.
Yes.
And you said, I went to Acapulco.
I went to Acapulco in college.
And
I somewhere
said, you
around.
Did? And then you said, yeah, with like a bunch of guys from SMU. And I said, I met a bunch of guys from SMU in Acapulco. And you're like, these guys were fight-outs. And I was like, they were fight-outs.
Yes. I mean, I don't even want to call it a relationship. You were hanging out for a brief period of time with someone that I knew.
I had a little spring break hookup.
Okay. I wasn't going to go to any specifics. But while we're at it, what exactly happened? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, it was very innocent. No, for real. But we just hung out. We sort of just like hung out for spring break.
Yeah. And anyway, we found out, this is insanity, that Angela and I... Not only did we go to Senior Frogs together, we were in the same van cab. We were in the same car to go to some club on the hill. I don't know.
Yes.
It was something.
Okay. I met one of your friends, and
right.
We won't say his name.
Right.
Who I'm still in touch with, by the way.
Oh,
still,
really?
Still friends with.
I was
going to
say,
with.
Reach out. That's the
still,
theme
no,
of today.
No.
Oh, don't.
Still
you don't
friends.
Have to. Okay.
Still friends. He's lovely. Because you know, Brian, I'm like, once you're in my life, you're in my life forever. So I hope
right.
If you meet me. Anyway, so we met at the hotel. And then his group of friends I guess you weren't with them at that moment, invited us to dinner to Senior Frogs.
Yeah.
And we all went in this van to Senior Frogs. You and I sat at a dinner table together, except it was like a table for like 16 people.
Yeah, it was enormous.
And we weren't at the same side table. But then we all piled into this van and went to some nightclub. Brian, it blew our minds that day because we literally were like, I went to Acapulco. I was with Phyllis. I went to Senior Frogs. We were like, what is happening?
I know. I don't know. I wish there was some like specific memory that we could pull back. But anyway, we were
in a van in Acapulco together. That's pretty amazing. And when we discovered this over in the corner of accounting, we lost our minds and we got fussed at. Do you remember? They were like, hey, we're trying to film a TV show over here. Like John Krasinski was like, what the heck's going? And then you and I were like, we were in a van in Acapulco.
We met 10 years ago or whatever. I mean, at that point, it had been that long or longer before.
Yeah, yeah.
And had never run into each other that we know of. I mean, we could have been in a van in LA too, but that is so crazy. That's a long story to say. You went to Baylor.
That's such a long story. That's a long story to say, though, that our lives keep crisscrossing, which I think is fun.
That is true. But when you were at Baylor, did you have the thought that what you're doing, that this is what you wanted to do with your life?
Oh, no, I wasn't doing what I thought I'd be doing.
No, I know. You were studying English.
Yeah, I was an English major, but I was a creative writing major.
Okay.
And I always knew, that I wanted to write characters for myself.
Okay.
So that's what I wanted to do. And my mom was very specific that she wanted me to go to a private religious college in the state of Texas. This is very specific. Because all three...
SMU, I don't think qualifies, although they're Methodist is in the middle. They're Methodist.
Okay. Yeah. But so I am the youngest of four girls, and my three older sisters had all gone to college and dropped out and then gone back to school and got their degrees. And my mom had sort of seen how hard that was on them later in life. And so my mom was determined that I was not going to go to a big state school. I was not going to go to a party school. And so... she like kind of gave me a list. Here's your list in Texas, lady, if you want us to help out with college. And then, and I went and I toured Baylor. It is beautiful. The campus is beautiful. I had such a great time there. I loved it. Brian, Baylor is beautiful.
That's beautiful. Brian, Waco.
Say Baylor is beautiful. Baylor's. Do not, Chip and Joanna Gaines are going to come after you.
Chip and Joanna, come join me. What was the moment for you where you said, I'm all in?
Well, Brian, here's how it went. I graduated from Baylor. Mm-hmm. I got a job. I was offered a job at a publishing house, a little small independent publishing company there in Waco. And my dad was like, fantastic. And I was like, no, this is not. I want to perform. And they're like, you want to what? But of course they knew that, but that is not the degree I got. I didn't get a degree in drama and theater. So I sort of always had this plan that I would go, I wanted to go to New York and I wanted to work on a late night talk show. I was obsessed with David Letterman. I used to record David Letterman, ready for this. This is going to date me. I would watch David Letterman and I would get, remember the tape recorders that were like long and flat, like a rectangle?
Yeah.
And you would hit eject and put the tape. I would hold that up and I would record his opening monologue. In front of the TV. And I would learn, I would like practice his opening monologue and like study the beats of how he would tell it. I was obsessed. And so I graduate from Baylor. I don't take the job. I move back in with my parents. OMG. My dad was like, what the heck is going on? We just paid for you this great education. And I wanted to intern in New York. So I had no connections. My family has no connections in entertainment. And so I found a phone number. I mean, God, I don't even know how I got this phone number. literally, I think I bought one of those books, you know, like a kind of like a Backstage West kind of book. And I found all the talk shows and stuff in there. There was like a 1-800 number that you could call, like a phone number you could call for NBC Rockefeller Center in New York. So you call the number, you get the main switchboard. And this woman's like, how can I direct you? And I said, I'm calling about internships. She's like, great, let me transfer you. And then she transfers you and you get this automated message that's like, leave your name and information. Someone will call you back.
Okay.
So I called and I did this for a few weeks and I would just go to this thing and no one would call me back. And I was getting so fed up. And my parents were like, are you going to get a job? And I'm like, oh my God. So then one day I called and the woman answers, how may I direct you? And I said, I was just talking to a woman in internships and I got disconnected. And she said, oh, do you mean Nancy? And I said, yes, yes, I mean Nancy. Nancy. And then she's like, let me connect you. Connects me. This woman answers the phone. Hi, this is Nancy. I said, hi, I'm calling about internships. She said, how did you get this phone number? And I said, I lied. I've been calling for weeks and I lied. And they transferred me to you. And she goes, okay, can you be here Monday? And this was like a Thursday. I said, I sure can. And she was like, great. I have two internships available. One is in the news department and one is on a new talk show called Conan O'Brien that no one had heard of and no one was watching at the time.
Right.
And I said, great, I'll be there. I hang up the phone. And I'm like at the phone, like in the kitchen, you know, with the long
cord.
You're
in Archer City and now you have to be in New York.
Yeah, on a Thursday. And I literally yell, Mom, I'm going to New York. I have to go to New York. She's like, what are you talking about? And then I told her this and she was like, yeah, she can't go to New York. I was like, Mom, I'm going to go sell my car. She's like, what? And then she's like, Bill, get in here. And I was like, this is my dream. I was like, I cannot stay here. If I stay here, everything you love about me is going to wither. This is what I want to do. And so I sold my car, Brian. My dad got me a car and he wanted to teach me responsibilities. He put it in my name and I had to pay for everything, you know, insurance and whatnot. Right. This was like part of my thing. And I sold the car and I used that money to move to New York. And my dad one day was like, probably shouldn't have put that title in your name. But they definitely knew how serious I was. So I guess that's a long, long answer to tell you. I knew I was all in.
That's amazing.
I knew I was. I mean, when I graduated college, I think I was kind of, you know, in college thinking like, yeah, that's what I want to do. Am I going to do it or not? And then finally it was push come to shove. And I was like, if I'm going to do it, I have to do it now.
You got
to
get out. Mm-hmm. I love that. And you telling your parents what you love about me will die if I don't.
I won't be who I am if I don't do this.
One of the tidbits I did not know. So I've known forever you were an intern on Conan O'Brien show. I didn't realize that you specifically worked for Max Weinberg.
Yes. Yes. Again.
Do you have a relationship with him?
No.
Currently?
No.
Okay. That didn't go so well.
Well, I don't. No, it was just an internship. It's just whatever.
Okay.
I mean, he's particular.
Okay.
But
he
was totally fine. I stretched the truth a tiny bit, Brian.
Okay. Okay.
I applied. I got the intern.
You told him you went to SMU.
No.
Oh, no.
I got the internship on Conan O'Brien, and I just was put into the general intern pool. And there were writers interns, and the writers interns got to be in the writer's room. There were interns. There was a music intern that got to be in the studio. Well, I wanted to be, to quote Hamilton, in the room where it happened. And the general intern pool was not it. You were just constantly going and getting people coffee or just running, making copies for them, stuff like that. And all of a sudden, while I was interning, a position for Max's intern, the music intern, came available. And so I went to the executive producer, Jeff Ross, not the comedian, you guys. This is a different person.
A different Jeff Ross.
And I was like, hey, can I apply for that music intern? I'm sure he's like, what is this kid doing? Because like, why? First of all, why is she coming into my office? Like, I'm the executive producer. Shouldn't she go tell the people who run the intern program? Yeah. And so I, you know, went to interview for it. And they were like,
tell us, you know, what do you know about music? Do you love me? I was like, everything. Love music. It's my life. And for anyone that knows me knows that I know three words to any song. I don't know the full song. I don't know who sang it. I don't know what album it's on. I don't know the musical instrument. I know I'm like, I'm the worst.
Yeah.
On a road trip, too. I'm the worst because I know five words to the song you like. And I'm going to get them wrong. And somehow they were like, okay. And then the first day they were like, we need you to go to SIR. You know, Max wants his drumsticks and he wants this and there's this. And there was a list of all of these instruments and things that I had never even heard of. And I had to go to this place called SIR.
What's that stand for?
Studio Instrument Rentals, I think.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
But I learned from one band that they didn't think it was the best one, and they called it shit in road cases. That's what I learned. But anyway, all of a sudden I'm getting all, and I just went into the guy, into the office of this place, and I had this list, and I said, hey, I lied to get this internship. I don't know what this is. Can you help me? And it turns out when you're really honest, sometimes people are like, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That good for you though. That showed initiative.
Yes.
Right. And it got you in the room.
It got me in the room. And then I got to be there when everything was happening that I wanted to see, when Conan was practicing his monologue and when Andy Richter and him were doing stuff. And it just, that's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be right there.
I love that. I love that story.
And full circle moment, years later, I got to be a guest on Conan O'Brien. That was my first real full life circle moment.
Right.
With the band, with Max, that I used to be their intern.
Did you talk to him when you were there?
Yeah,
did you
say, like, I was like, hey, yeah. Oh my gosh. I was so excited. And Jimmy Vivino, who was always so nice to me, and La Bamba, the guy, the whole band was great. Then I got to be on David Letterman, and I was like, I could not hold a thought in my head. I couldn't even reconcile the fact that this kid that would stand in front of this TV with her tape recorder and record this person, I was now sitting on the sofa talking to him. I was, oh my gosh, full circle life moment.
That's so cool. I love that. And that was what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
To make it better. That's incredible. I love that.
Thanks, bud.
I don't know if you guys know, Angela Kinsey starred as Angela Martin in a television show called The Office for 10 years, 9 seasons. Yeah, really, that's all I had to say about that. We've talked to Angela in the past. You can go back and hear everything she has to say about The Office. I don't really want to talk about that time except to ask you a question that I get asked a lot post office. How difficult has it been for you to separate yourself from the role of Angela Martin? And is that even important to you at all?
You mean when I'm going out for other jobs?
Yeah. For other projects or just being perceived in terms of your work now.
Well, I definitely had a series of jobs after The Office where people just wanted me to be like a slight different shade of Angela Martin, just kind of a bitchy person.
Right.
And I did have a moment where I was like, hey, I have done that for a long time and I'm ready to do something new. And I got to do a few really fun characters. I loved playing the mom in Tall Girl.
Yeah. And Tall Girl 2.
And Tall Girl 2. She's still tall.
Yeah.
I played.
That's my tagline. Okay, that's yours. I like it though.
Thank you. I will. It was, you know, I got to be in all these great scenes with Steve Zahn, and the young actors were great great too.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I can be kind of like a little bit of that ditzy, self-absorbed mom of a certain age that loves her white wine. Just not that different, maybe, than who I am in real life.
A little closer. Yeah.
So I had a good run at doing that too, and that was fun. But one of my favorite things recently was there was a show coming out, and they reached out to me about a role. And it was a producer that's done a lot, Brian. You would know said producer.
Oh.
And I've never worked with him before, but they said, we would like her to come in and audition
for the role of this woman who's kind of uptight. She's persnickety. She doesn't really have anything nice to say about anyone, you know. And I had this moment, Brian, where I said, no, here's the thing. I did that. And I did it really well for 9 years. So if you want that, I can give that to you. No problem. So my audition is seasons 1 through 9 of
The
Office.
Check the fucking tape.
Yeah.
Check the fucking tape.
I was like, I want you to go to, at the time, Netflix and watch any episode of The Office and let me know if I got the job. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, that's what I said. I go, and then I told my agent, I said, if anyone calls and asks me if I will come in and read for them to be the bitch, will you just forward them a link to The Office seasons 1 through 9?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm done with that. And that's, I think that's part of being in your 50s. There's some things you're just done with. Well, and I'm done with you. Yeah. I'm done with nonsense. I can play the
nonsense.
Bitch. We know this now.
Right.
We know this.
Yes. And yeah, that's the thing. It's not ego. It's
no.
It's not like, oh, I am not going to come and audition or read for you. But it's like the conversation that I have with my representatives is basically like, do they know right now whether they want me or not? Like it's done. Like
yeah.
They don't have to hire me. They may be looking for a different color or a different whatever. But if the role is in a specific window,
yeah,
that aligns with what I have done or you have done over many, many years, let's not waste each other's time.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. If it is something I've never done before or you haven't seen or I haven't done that particular character, I am so happy to come in an audition. I like to work on a scene. I like to go in. But, you know, I guess this is just what do you call that? Public announcement to Hollywood. I'm sure they're listening to me. If you need a bitch,
yeah,
don't ask me to read for it. Just
yeah,
know I can do it. Know I can deliver.
You mentioned Tall Girl. Is that your favorite role since The Office? You've had a lot. Haters Back Off.
Yes, I loved
Wives.
Oh my gosh.
Orlando
Hot Wives was
Las Vegas.
So fun.
Impress Me. I mean, what is your favorite? Or what, how about this? Here's a different, what is the work that you're the most proud of that you have done since The Office?
Well, you know, I feel like there's moments where you just get to really stretch yourself a little.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely in Haters Back Off, that character, there was a real sadness to her, even though it was a comedy. And I loved sort of dipping into that. And I loved Tall Girl, and I had this recurring character on Fresh Off the Boat that was really mm-hmm. fun. But recently, Pam Adlon reached out to me and said, hey, it's the final season of Better Things, and I have this little cameo, Ange, but I'm going to write you this great monologue, and will you come do it? And I was like, sure. And I just love her, and I just wanted to be part of her final season. And she wrote this moment that I feel like I had people reach out to me about this scene, Brian, text me, like my phone was blowing up because it was just so honest. It was this mom who is just talking about her son going off to college and she gets a little tipsy. She drinks too much sake and she just kind of has this heartfelt monologue and then gets in the car and is trashed. but it was so tender and then also funny. I got to do so many turns, you know, as an actor when you get to do lots of turns. And it's one of my favorite things I've done since The Office.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you for
and
sharing that.
And it's a small moment.
No,
I've had bigger roles in other things, but I think it was just one of those moments where I'm like, oh, I get to do a lot in this one moment. And
yeah,
it's all about me. It's, you know, the character.
Yeah, I love that.
Hey,
Hey, everyone, this is Get It to Dutch, a screenwriter's journey. I'm Mark.
I'm Greg.
I'm Brendan.
And in this new comedy podcast, the three of us play aspiring screenwriters on a quest to get a hit Hollywood script to famous producer Dutch Huxley.
Well, I would say one of us is aspiring and the other two are sort of struggling.
Which one of us is aspiring?
No, they're going to have to listen to the podcast.
But I don't know, and I made the podcast.
Well, I made the podcast, and I think you guys were along for the ride.
Each week, we bring in a script, we read it, and then we give each other notes.
And you'll also hear about our adventures navigating the Hollywood system.
The show features amazing guests like Tim Robinson, Lily Sullivan, Weird Al Yankovic, and Rob Hubel.
And like any great blockbuster, it's filled with heartbreak, adventure, suspense, and just a little tasteful nudity.
And some distasteful nudity.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, guys.
Listen to Get It to Dutch, a screenwriter's journey, starting May 9th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I saw on the old gram, you got, well, by the way, Angela Kinsey and Jenna Fisher host a podcast, one of the largest in all of the land, Office Ladies. And I saw on the gram, you are entering the final season of rewatching The Office, season 9. The first thing I saw was New Guys. I saw the title and I was like, wait, they're doing New Guys? That's the last season.
Season 9. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the last one. I mean, it's been obviously an enormous success. How much fun has it been for you, not just working with Jenna so closely for so long, and I know how close the two of you are, but how much fun has it been to connect with so many other people that we worked with and to really, over the span of years, relive the show?
It is my favorite thing I've done in my entire career. My favorite thing. It eclipses everything. And I, you know, The Office holds such a special place in my heart, right? It is my favorite on-camera thing. You know, you say, what was your favorite role after The Office? It's hard to really have anything measure up to The Office. Nothing real. I mean, nothing ever really will for me. That was just so special. And until we do The Accountants, the spinoff,
Of course.
Yeah. But, I mean, when is that starting? Do we have a date yet to start it?
This is a joke that I know people that, you know, listen to Office Ladies know that me and Brian and Oscar used to regularly pitch that the spinoff would be called Los Encantadores, Oscar,
Los
Angela.
Cantadores.
And it would be on Telemundo. And the tagline was Oscar, Angela, y Kevin. So Peacock, if you're listening, I would still do The Accountants because that would be so fun.
Yeah. Do we have a date yet, though?
We don't have a date yet. We need to set that. We need to get that in motion.
Okay.
But doing the podcast with Jenna, reconnecting with the cast and crew, and also with the community of people that love The Office.
Yeah.
It is just amazing. I'm so humbled by it that our show lives on the way it does, that it brings people together. And I love it. I love it so much, Brian. It's one of the things I'm most proud of.
How does it feel knowing that you're starting the last season and at least in its current form, it will be done? You'll have to say goodbye again.
Yeah. So Office Ladies, Jenna and I have decided isn't going anywhere.
Okay.
We love doing this so much. So, you know, when we're done with the rewatch, we do have an idea for a fun follow-up podcast. So, I
want teaser.
Teaser.
That's what we call a teaser
it's
in the business.
It's called a teaser. So, we want to stay podcasting. We just love it. And I mean, it's fun, Brian, isn't it? You're so good at it. It's so fun.
I love it. It's my favorite part of the week.
Yes, me too. Me too.
This week, because I'm about to do some traveling. I've done a lot this week. I'll be honest, but it is truly the time getting to talk with old friends like you. And I mean the fact that we've known each other for a long time. I'm not calling you old.
It's okay. I'm 52.
And meeting new people. I mean, I just.
I love it.
I love it. I love it too.
Bryan Cranston just came in the studio with us and I mean, Brian, I hung on his every word. He literally is someone who could read the phone book, like just the way he talks. And he ended up asking us questions. And I was like, wait, Jen, I think he just interviewed us. He was just so interesting. But like you said, I was like, gosh, just to have, you know, an hour and a half with Steve Carell or, you know, oh, we talked to Kelly Cantley. And I know you have too. Just the people, Kelly was the AD on The Office, the assistant director, and just people who are so dear to us and special, and to be able to just sit and chat with them.
Yeah. It's a gift. Are you going to be sad though when the rewatch is done?
I will be. I've really loved rewatching the show. I hadn't seen the show all the way through since it aired. There are many episodes that we're watching really and truly, I haven't seen since that first week when it was on, remember, appointment television on Thursday nights on NBC. So I am going to be sad. But I told Jenna, I was like, maybe we'll just rewatch the whole thing again. That is not our spinoff podcast.
That's a way to keep it going.
But I actually, instead of like Tall Girl 2, it's like Office Ladies, still watching.
Still watching.
But I told her, I'm serious. I think now that the podcast, like we've rewatched it all, I kind of want to just go back and rewatch it now for me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just as an audience.
Now, I haven't asked you this either. Are you, now obviously, you know, for scheduling and all of that, you I'm sure there are times where you're maybe recording more than one in a week, or, you know, you're ahead of obviously when it airs. Spoiler alert. That's how it works.
Yes.
What's your process? Like, are you watching it weekly, typically, like one episode?
Okay. Here's my work week. Ready?
Okay.
Okay. So we record on Thursdays, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then my work week, then it sort of starts again after Thursday. So Thursday's like my Friday, guys. And then on Friday, what I do is I watch the next week's episode.
Okay. That's what I'm asking.
Okay. Yeah. So I watch it first time on Friday. Then on Sunday, I watch all the bloopers, any like bonus scenes, and I also have the shooting drafts. So then I will, on Monday, I read the shooting draft. And I look to see like what stayed in, what didn't. I'll look to see what kind of, they call them the candy bag alts. We talk about this on Office Ladies. Those were all the like extra stuff we might read for a talking head, the monologues we would do. Then Jenna and I decide, who do we want to reach out to? Okay, Brian directed it. I'm going to reach out to Brian because I have a few questions about this one scene. And then maybe she reaches out to a cast member. Then we look to see any articles written about the show at the time. I look through all my old emails to see if we were trading emails about something at the time. I look through old photos. We really dig deep into it and try to find all the layers about that episode. And then on Tuesday or Wednesday, I'll watch it again all the way through. Because now I have all this information, so I'll watch it again to see if I missed anything, if there's any background catch, if there was a fan question, and then we record on Thursday. So typically, I watch an episode of The Office 3 times, the same episode. So
you watch it how it aired.
I watch it how it aired with no information. I just watch it just to watch it.
Watch it.
And then I watch it after looking at the shooting draft.
Bonus, yeah.
Or bloopers or deleted scenes, things like that.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's going to be a lot that you're going to miss then.
Yeah.
In a short few
weeks/months.
Yeah.
Well, and then the other thing too that's interesting to me is that, you know, I'll watch an episode that we prep 3 times, but a fan has seen the episode 17 times. Yeah. You know, everybody knows the show way better than we'll ever know it, Brian.
Yeah.
Even with all of our like unturning, like different behind the scenes information and,
yeah,
but the actual episode, no one will ever know it better than the true Office fan.
Yeah. It's so funny. You just reminded me, and I can't remember how many times it was, but I had the opportunity to interview Billie Eilish, and I know you've talked to her. And whatever it was, I posted about it online, like she's watched it 14 times. It was 14 or 17 or something like that.
It's like 30 something, probably.
And no, that was her number.
Oh, yeah.
And in all of the comments, all it was people making fun of her because she hadn't seen it enough.
Oh, and I my was like, gosh.
Guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Guys, back off, guys. Come on.
Wow. Yeah, because she knows it so well.
She knows it very well. Yeah, she knows it very well.
We did a quiz with her when she was on Office Ladies, and she just skunked me and Jenna. I mean, she skunked Jenna. I came in second.
You came in second.
Yeah.
Rain would come significantly behind Jenna, I'll tell you that.
Rain is hilarious. Oh. Whenever we reach out to him about an episode, we're like, hey, Rain, this is an episode, you know, Dwight had a really big story arc in. What do you think about this? He'd be like, I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't remember. I know.
What?
I know. I remember when I talked to him and it was like within 6 minutes. And I think he and I talked for almost 2.5 hours. Within 6 minutes, I had all my pages. I had all this prep done. And my brain went, only macro questions. No micro questions. Like, no specifics. Well, good for him.
That was very Southern. That was kind of like, bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
Good for him.
Bless his heart. I have a new scoop to deliver to the world today, unless someone wrote a press release today. You and your amazing husband, Josh Snyder, just sold a cookbook. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What is it about?
Okay, so we have been wanting to do a cookbook together for a long time. You know, my husband's amazing baker. You know this. You've been on our YouTube series, Baking with Josh and Ange.
Baking and cooking.
Just baking. Oh, right. We did cook, didn't we?
We made chili once.
We made chili once. Yeah, so Josh has a ton of recipes. He's a food blogger, and he's awesome. And we have our family favorites and our kids' favorites, and we just really wanted to finally put all of our favorite recipes in a cookbook that we can share, and I'm just so excited even just for our kids to have it. So it's going to be recipes plus little stories, slice of life, photos, and stuff like that, and we're super, super excited about it.
It's basically like Josh and Ange's family favorites.
Yes.
Family Favorites.
That is not the title.
Damn it.
I can't release the title yet.
Oh, damn.
We're going to have a big reveal.
Okay. I understand that. But that's amazing. I love that idea.
Thank you. Well, you've done two cookbooks. So,
well, one I'm in the middle of it. I have the barbecue cookbook that's coming out in a few months here. The chili cookbook. I mean, it's work. It's a lot to get it all together.
Right before I hopped on the podcast with you, we had a phone call with our publisher, and she was going through the dates that we have to turn things in and all of this. And I could see Josh. He was doing that thing he does where when, like, for example, we were in Scotland and we asked directions, and this guy talked for about 10 minutes to us, and I could tell Josh didn't know a single word he said. He gets this look in his eyes of like, And so, I mean, he's very excited about it, but like as we were listing things off, I could see he was like, "Oh, this is gonna okay." And that's a lot, okay. So it's a ton of work, as you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Jenna and I's book, The Office BFFs.
Yeah.
It took us 3 years and 7 months to write that book. Now, if we did start we started writing it during the pandemic. To be fair, and all of a sudden, what I'm teaching. You know, fourth grade science? Are you kidding me?
Right.
Like, we're homeschooling. Like, I get a list. I need a beaker and some string. And I'm like, what am I doing? And I also have to go write a book.
Yeah.
Brian, I should say, though, just so you know, we did tease it on the podcast on Office Ladies and that came out last week. So
I don't care.
Okay.
Listen, if I say it's breaking news.
It's breaking news.
It's breaking news.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah. I just wanted you to know.
No, it's totally fine. No, it's totally fine. I am so happy for your success. I'm so happy that you're happy. More than anything, I'm happy that you're happy and that you're enjoying it so much and you're giving such joy to so many people. I'm just so happy for you.
That's so sweet. I just love you so much, Brian. We weathered a lot together over corner, and a lot of laugh. Oh my gosh, a lot of life happens in 9 years, and you were always there for me. You were always there for me, and I just adore you.
Well, I love you too, and I so appreciate you coming on, celebrating The Office Ladies, beginning season 9, the final season. It is, as they call it, it's the final countdown.
It's the final countdown.
Good luck. I can't wait to hear where the show's going to go.
Jenna and I are very excited. We are super excited about it. And we so appreciate our Office Ladies family. And we want to just keep doing it.
Well, I'm really glad you are, and good luck on the cookbook. If you need any, I mean, basically all I told you was it's not easy.
Yeah, I might need more guidance than that, Brian.
All right, I'll give you here's my biggest best piece of advice.
This is
so dumb.
Please
for writing a cookbook.
Okay.
Find someone early to do the foreword.
Oh, that's so smart, Brian.
Yeah.
I hadn't even thought about the foreword. Oh my God. Okay. Good. Good.
Find somebody early to do the foreword.
Okay.
They'll appreciate it. That's the one. Cause you're like, they give, you know, if somebody gives you a deadline, you have to do it. If somebody gives a theoretical deadline for a thing that isn't quite figured out yet.
Oi. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I loved being on here chatting with you. I'll come back anytime because you're one of my favorite people on the whole planet. And you guys out there listening, be sure to write Peacock, give him a call, let him know you'd like to see the accountants.
Los Cantadores.
Los Cantadores, Oscar, Angela, y Kevin.
There you go. Angela, Kinsey, thank you so much.
Thank you, bud. Love you too.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Angela, I love you. thank you so much for taking some time with me today. Good luck finishing off the rewatch of The Office. And listeners, if you want to hear us talk more, then you can go back, listen to Angela's episode on this podcast specifically about The Office, or you can go to Office Ladies, listen to the episode I was on, Casual Friday, and many more. Thanks for tuning in. I will see you again right here, not this week again, but next week. So make this one a good one. Off the Beat is hosted and executive produced by me, Brian Baumgartner, alongside our executive producer, Ling Lee. Our senior producer is Diego Tapia. Our producers are Liz Hayes, Hannah Harris, and Emily Carr. Our talent producer is Ryan Papa Zachary, and our intern is Ali Amir Sahin. Our theme song, Bubble and Squeak, performed by the one and only Creed Bratton.
If you love comedy movies and Hollywood satire, you're going to want to listen to a brand new podcast called Get It to Dutch.
In Get It to Dutch, we play three aspiring screenwriters on a quest to get a script to big-time Hollywood producer Dutch Huxley.
Each week on the podcast, we perform a movie script right before your ears.
It's like going to a movie with your eyes closed.
And we have amazing guest stars, including Tim Robinson, Rob Hubel, Lily Sullivan, Jamie Moyer, and Weird Al Yankovic.
Listen to Get It to Dutch, A Screenwriter's Journey, starting May 9th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.